Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to begin there today and say good morning to everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. And last night was a very big event concerning the things of this world. And today, the buzz is on every news station, every radio station, everywhere you turn, everywhere you look. What happened last night? And with caution, people are clapping and saying, good job. And personally, when I was praying last night, Lord, what happened? What is the truth? Because we were talking yesterday about the necessity of knowing the truth and binding that spirit of blasphemy so that blasphemy and deception would no longer work against the elect of God, that we would have the truth as sincere men and women of faith. Lord, what happened last night? Well, on the one hand, I heard it was good, because there may be afforded an opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth in North Korea. And we have been told that I believe there's about 400,000 Christians in North Korea. So that would be a very good thing. And it is a good thing to have the gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And so on the one hand, I could see where this is a very good thing. On the other hand, while the world is crying for peace and safety, you heard literally a grown man by the name of Dennis Rodman, an ex-Chicago Bull basketball player in his day, crying literally that he wants world peace. No more killing. No more killing each other. He wants world peace. This is the cry of the world, because the world is getting a little bit unnerved over the reality of these troublesome times, these winds that are blowing, these adverse moments, the threat of war, nuclear war, World War III. We hear it. And so something happened last night. But then as I continued to pray and enter into the Word of God and just laying quiet before the Lord, just waiting to hear His voice, I heard lying signs and wonders. Beware of lying signs and wonders. And when I heard in my spirit lying signs, or beware of signs, that this demonic one comes with signs. And what was happening yesterday? There were letters being signed, right? There was a signing going on in Singapore. And by the way, where did they meet in Singapore? On an island south of a particular area. And it was called, in our language, the Island of Tranquility. So they were signing a peace treaty, an agreement, a covenant on the Island of Tranquility. Now, I find that to be very interesting, because we do live in a time where after an entire generation of slaughtering the innocent babies, after an entire generation of a nation fighting against God, not just ignoring God, but literally fighting against God, which we talked about yesterday, and I want to go back to and revisit just for a moment today. And then all of a sudden we have North Korea and the United States signing a peace treaty, so to speak, which on the one hand is really good if it affords light for the gospel to go forth and access to the gospel in that area. But I don't think that's where we could just rest on that and say, wow, you know, this is a move of the Spirit of God. Maybe we can. I'll leave it to your judgment, by the way. I just want to present my case and let it fall where it will, because why don't we just do this before going any further? I read this yesterday. It's a pretty short article, but I was asking the question yesterday to anybody that wanted to join the conversation, is America under judgment? And that seems to be a really big question, and not only amongst Americans or the church in America, but even the leaders of Canada and Europe and Africa, around the world, people are looking at this nation and they're wondering, and they are asking the question, is America under judgment? And everybody's answering the question according to what they believe. And so I discovered an article, and I want to share it with you briefly again, and I want to go on to some deeper articles. I'm going to be on the air until 10 o'clock this morning. Patricia Joy Xavier will not be on the air at 10 o'clock. We have something special for her that Kyle put up for those of you following her ministry, which I know is a very rich ministry. So we're just going to run here for the next 51 minutes. And again, in a sermon delivered in 1989 At Times Square Church in New York City, Pastor Dave Wilkerson electrified his audience with the proclamation that America has passed the point of no return in its rebellion against God and has thus been destined by God for final judgment. He began the sermon with the following words, and I quote, "America is dying. The country's wound is incurable. It is now in the final throes of a terminal disease. The great empire is crumbling." Well, those were the words of Pastor David Wilkerson, who had a very rich, far-reaching ministry coming out of New York City. But the message basically summarized some major points and the crucial points that were made by Pastor Wilkerson in his historic prophetic declaration were as follows. Number one that he made was that America is a sinful nation that is currently experiencing the judgment of God. This is 1989. Number two, he said that God has raised up many prophetic voices to call America to repentance and to warn that continued rebellion will lead to doom. And again, what is blasphemy? It is the resistance of the conviction or the convincing of the Holy Spirit of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So when God raises up the voice of the prophets to warn the nation, if the voice of God through the prophets is not heeded to, well, it will bring the nation into deeper judgment, which will lead to doom. That's what he said. So in in the third point that Pastor David made was that America has refused to listen to these prophets. Instead, the nation has stiffened in its rebellion against God. We believe this is true. The fourth point he made was that the result is that America has passed the point of no return. Does that sound familiar? The point of dread release. This is Pastor David. The point of dread release when God delivers a nation from judgment to destruction. And number five, he said, thus the wrath of God is about to fall on this nation, most likely in the form of an economic collapse from which there will be no recovery. Looking at these points, number one, a mocking nation. So it is an ominous message of truth that Americans, even Christians, will rebel against this message what we're talking about. The Christian community will reject it because it has compromised its values with the world. It has wrapped itself in the flag of patriotism, and it has deceived itself with its Pollyanna gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity. When God sent prophets to Israel and Judah, calling them to repentance, the people mocked the prophets. They said, "We are God's chosen people," they reminded the prophets. "God will never allow our nation to be destroyed." And, for example, let me give you some scripture verses in Jeremiah 5, 12, and 13. It says, "They have lied about the Lord and said, 'Not he. Misfortune will not come on us. We will not see sword or famine. The prophets are as wind, and the word is not in them. Thus it will be done to them.'" That was literally the response of the people to the prophets. And then in Micah 3:11, "Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price. Her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, 'Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us.'" So in other words, the condition of the prophets and of the people, the leaders of the nation, is so corrupt, and yet they believe in their mind that no damage will come to them because God is with them. Well, for the past 30 years, God has been raising up prophetic voices in America, voices like Dave Wilkerson, calling this country to repentance. We have reacted in the same manner as the ancient Israelites. We have mocked the prophets by arrogantly reminding them that we are a Christian nation. Now, the false prophets continue to say America is a Christian nation. No harm will come to it. Everything is okay. The nation's not under judgment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this is consistent Bible theology that people are just going to have to wake up to. Now, a nation under judgment. But the truth is that we are anything but a Christian nation. Our behavior as a nation makes a mockery of Christianity. We lead the world in every abomination known to man: abortion, alcoholism, drug addiction, gambling, divorce, child abuse, violent crime, pornography, and yes, even child pornography. Worse yet, we export our violence and immorality to other countries through our sleazy movies and television programs. We have become the moral polluter of planet Earth, and we are reaping what we have sown. The judgment of God is upon this nation. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 to 48, the curses of a nation under judgment are listed there. The passage reads like a detailed description of American society, cities in chaos, in bondage, government in confusion, a foreign policy in retreat, rampant disease, epidemic divorce, agricultural calamity, and increasing foreign domination. All of these things are in Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 48, and are real and alive in America. Yet, despite these judgments, now think about all the judgments, and this is beyond 1989. This is coming up to where we are today, and you know what has been on this nation, particularly since 9/11/2001. But in spite of these judgments, we have refused to repent. In fact, we have stiffened in our rebellion against God. In our schools, we have abolished prayer, removed the Ten Commandments, and banned the distribution of Bibles. We have terrorized our teachers into believing they will lose their jobs if they mention God to their students. We have even mandated the teaching of atheistic evolution and have prohibited the truth of creationism. We are in the process, and at that time it was a process, it's now reality, of legalizing and even encouraging sodomy. We are handing out condoms and needles to our youth. We are going out of our way to protect every expression of profanity and obscenity. Our state governments are encouraging immorality by promoting gambling in every conceivable form. And our artists are wallowing in blasphemy, using every form of artistic expression to mock and ridicule God. America is thumbing its nose at God. The Supreme Court is in rebellion against God. Our Congress is hardened against God. Our bureaucracy could care less about God. Our educational system has banned God. The chilling thing about our behavior as a nation is that the Bible teaches that when a nation under judgment refuses to repent, it will ultimately reach a point where God will deliver it from judgment to wrath, from discipline to doom. So the Bible further teaches that when this terrible point of dread release is reached, the nation cannot be saved even by the prayer of the righteous. And I found this very amazing because what they give us is Ezekiel 14, 12 to 20. And what it says in Ezekiel 14, 12 to 20 is what I read on the broadcast last week. Then the Lord said to me, "Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread and famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God. If I were to cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they depopulated it, and it became desolate so that no one passed through it because of the beast, though these three men were in the midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the country would be desolate. Or if I should bring a sword on that country and say, 'Let the sword pass through the country and cut off man and beast from it,' even though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters, but they alone would be delivered. Or if I should send a plague against that country and pour out my wrath in blood on it to cut off man and beast from it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job intercessors and righteous men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by righteousness. By righteousness. All right. Now, I call this the Nahum principle because it is so clearly taught. And I want to go back over this, that the point when God turns a people from judgment to wrath, from discipline to doom. Remember that. And only the righteous will be spared. There is no intercession for the wicked. Everybody references the Sodom and Gomorrah event. If there be 30 righteous men, will you spare the city and the rest of the ungodly? But that's not the case in Ezekiel, how God deals with countries. And what he's telling us is that only the righteous will deliver themselves. So this is called the Nahum principle because it's so clearly taught in the prophetic message that God gave to Nahum to deliver to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Nahum pronounced that the nation's wounds had become incurable. And I quote in Nahum 3:19, "There is no relief for your breakdown. Your wound is incurable. All who hear about you will clap their hands over you, for on whom has not your evil passed continually?" And Jeremiah used this same terminology when he later pronounced God's doom upon Judah. In Jeremiah 10:19, he says, "Woe is me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. But I said, truly, this is a sickness, and I must bear it." And then in Jeremiah 30:12, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, your wound is incurable, and your injury is serious." Well, Nahum identifies the point of no return in chapter 1, verse 11. He says it occurs when a nation's apathy. Now, listen, this is very important. When a nation's apathy toward God or rebellion against God is transformed into war with God. In other words, it is one thing for a nation to ignore God and another for it to rebel against God. These actions will provoke the judgment of God. But when a nation goes to war with God, that nation beckons the wrath of God and thus seals its doom. Well, has America reached that point? Did we make war with God in the Supreme Court? Did we make war with God by shedding innocent blood when the Supreme Court passed laws for abortion and homosexuality? Have we made war with God in our sitcoms and our televisions? You have to answer the question honestly. The nation fought against God. The leaders of America fought against God. Now we have Donald Trump in the office, and he doesn't appear to be fighting against God. He appears to be a reformer. But we need to be watching very carefully while we're praying, interceding, hoping, and believing, because we are living in the most deceptive times in the face of the universe of this planet. And rightfully so, because the Bible does say that in the last days, there would be great deception. And again, for the 100th time, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, that the devil deceives the whole world. We have to remember that. And we have to remember that in the last days, there'll be doctrines of demons, that people would gather themselves, teachers having itching ears, tell us what we want to hear. The times would come when they would call bittersweet and light darkness, et cetera, et cetera. We know that there will be a time of many false prophets, and a consistent theme for false prophets is when false prophets tell a nation lies in spite of the judgment and doom that has been pronounced against it. The false prophets always say peace and safety. The false prophets always say nothing bad will ever happen when the nation is sinning against God. And I think we all get that. So, according to Pastor Dave, and I happen to agree with him, he was a Jeremiah in his time, says that we have passed the point of no return. So, how will God's wrath be manifested toward us? Initially, it is most likely to come in the form of an economic collapse from which there will be no hope of recovery. Ultimately, it is likely to be consummated in our destruction by nuclear weapons. As we face the consequences of our war against God, let those of us who are Christians do so with hope in our hearts, remembering the words of Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, he is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today is the 12th day of June, 2018. A historical moment took place on the Island of Tranquility. Documents were signed on the Island of Tranquility in Singapore yesterday. What happened? The world is wondering. I'm reading out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, of this Antichrist, this ultimate reality of the Antichrist, even him whose coming, his appearing, is after the working of Satan. All right, so every time there's an Antichrist, there are many Antichrists. We know that from the book of John, one of the epistles. There are many Antichrists, but there is an ultimate coming of the Antichrist, and that's what Paul's writing about here. And he is coming, the ultimate Antichrist, but all Antichrists come with the same and in the same manner. And that's why we need to pay attention, because the coming of Antichrist is after the working of Satan. So Satan is a liar. Satan is a seducer. Satan is a deceiver. Satan comes as an angel of light. Satan comes to take the guard down from the saints. Satan is coming to make war with everything concerning God, especially the saints of God. So this Antichrist is coming with the working of Satan with what? All power. Now, it's interesting because that word power is the same word that Christians use when we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive power, dunamis. And yet the Antichrist comes with dunamis, same word. And his dunamis, his power, is with all, right, watch this, all power and signs. So he's coming with semeion, that's a sign. He's coming with a mark, the mark of the beast, right? He's coming with a token. He's coming in a way that will be an indication, especially ceremonially or supernaturally. We saw a great ceremony on the Island of Tranquility yesterday. We saw a signing of documents of peace and denuclearization yesterday. Okay? So we've seen these signs, but what does he call them? He calls it with all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, a lot of people believe what happened yesterday was quite a wonder. Well, lying wonder is a pseudos. You've heard a pseudo piece. It's not real. All it means is a lie. Lying means a lie. Conscious and intentional falsehood. And I like this. This is very important. In a broad sense, whatever is not what it seems to be. Whatever is not what it seems to be, something perverse, something deceitful, and if you are not cautious about what happened yesterday on the Island of Tranquility, you've got a problem. If you're sitting there listening to this right now saying, oh, come on, don't poo-poo that. That was a good thing. That was a right thing. That's a God thing. You better be very careful about not being cautious. You're living in the most deceptive days right now, and you need to ask yourself on a biblical line, what's guiding your thinking? What's making you think that was all good? Now, again, I started the program by saying, on the one hand, this is good if it affords the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into that nation and it's all real. That would be a good thing. But after further prayer, going deeper than the first answer that came into my mind, these thoughts need to continue. And again, we're talking about something where not everything seems to be what it really is. And what is this lying? It's a lying wonder. So this one comes with a lying teras, and that's the word for wonder, and it means performed, a miracle literally performed by anyone. A wonder, an omen, a prodigy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think people all over the world right now are looking what happened in the Island of Tranquility, a little island in Singapore with the signing of a document that afforded world peace. World peace. Everybody wants peace in the world. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a fire. And the world is uniting in a peace that is not rooted and grounded in the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's rooted and grounded in documentation, in government documents and signing of treaties and all of these different covenants and processes. But nobody is gathering together as we see it in the name of Jesus Christ. The whole world, remember this, ultimately the whole world has to come under the power of the Antichrist. And these little countries that have been insulated, you know, the monsters of the world, they have to be broken into for the ultimate conclusion of Bible prophecy in the last days, which would be the Great Tribulation, that every nation on earth will give worship to the dragon and the beast. The only people that will be targeted for disaster are those who bow the knee to Jesus Christ and refuse to take the mark of the beast. A mark is a signature, a sign. A signature, a sign. That's what these two men were writing on documents. They were signing, signaturing their names to a deal. And if you're not cautious about that, when the Bible says peace and safety, and there is no peace and there is no safety, sudden destruction comes, then I would have to question where you're at. You may question me and say, well, you're just antagonistic to anything that looks positive. No, everything that's positive is in Jesus Christ. The only way that I could possibly view anything as being real, authentic, and signatured by God is having to do with his son at the center, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I admit that Donald Trump is a reformer of some sort. The man has a mastery and a power about him. He's getting things done. It seems to be really good for America. He's awing the world. That's really cool. That's really good. That's why we voted for him. Maybe as a reformer for a brief moment, light will shine. Maybe even in North Korea, that would be a good thing. But we must maintain a deeper vigilance about what is really happening in this world, because we could get caught into something that's really not biblical. And when you study end time Bible prophecy, it's impossible to sit back right now and say, hallelujah, everything is a-okay. We want to. The whole world wants to. You heard Dennis Rodman crying perhaps last night. We got to stop killing each other. The world wants peace, but they want it with a world religion. They want it with a world government. They want to unite everything, and they don't want anybody antagonistic to their agenda. So we have, again, back in Thessalonians, something that we need to pay attention to. This Antichrist, who's coming, is after the working of Satan. In other words, he's going to deceive his way all the way through. He's going to use all power, signs, lying, wonders, and listen, with all deceivableness. In other words, there's no reserve in the deception that he's going to release. With all deceivableness, which is apate, and what it means simply is delusion. He is going to create a delusion. This is the Antichrist. This isn't even God's delusion. This is Antichrist's delusion. He is going to spin something and make something look real. It's going to look right. It's going to sound right. It's going to appear right. And the people are going to rejoice in it. And anybody that doesn't, they're the bad guys. You're not getting on the train, you know. You're not going along with the program. Everybody get on board. Let's go. Now, if North Korea opens itself up to the nations of the earth and missionaries are permitted to go into North Korea and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will then know that God has used this moment of opportunity to fulfill his word, that before Jesus returns, the gospel must be preached in all the world, and this would be an access point into it, because the gospel cannot be openly preached in North Korea. But folks, I wonder, have you stopped and looked and thought, gee, I wonder what the Islamic world is thinking about this movement last night? What are the leaders of Iran, the leaders of Turkey, the leaders of Iraq, the leaders of the Islamic world, what are they looking at? What are they seeing? What are the leaders of China and Russia thinking? And you know that President Trump is not just dealing with Kim as an independent. You know he's backed by other great nations. So what are all the other nations of the earth looking at? On the one hand, the nations are asking, is America under judgment or not? Well, we just read biblically that a nation that ignores God or rebels against God is a nation under judgment. We've done that. And then a nation that fights against God is turned over from judgment to doom. And we've done that. So is this moment the moment that we all raise our hands and say, hallelujah? Or is this a moment to become even more cautious? I'm asking you the question. Because this devil coming with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, what does that mean? This is when the devil has created an empire of the world where everybody's enjoying what he has offered to them. It's no different than when he went to Jesus and said, bow down to me and I'll give you all these kingdoms and the glory of them, the good stuff. Well, when nations turn away from God, they're basically saying we want what Satan has to offer us in the great fair of life, the great circus of life. We want all the goodies. We want the bells and the whistles. And we're willing to compromise with the world to get what he's offering. So Satan's just offering to the nations of the earth the glory of kingdoms. Enjoy. But it's all a trap. Why do I know that? Because it says that he's going to come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the satanic deception that'll catch people off guard. And what happens at this point? We go to verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Now, God's sending strong delusion that they should believe a lie. How does the devil come? With signs and wonders, with lying signs and wonders. And so what is this word delusion? Well, it's plane in the Greek, and it means fraud, deceit, error. A wandering or a straying about. How do you lure an animal into a trap? You put something that it likes in the snare. You give it bait. The devil is a fisher. The devil is a roaring lion seeking some to devour. The devil loads the traps with bait, what people want. And that's why a wanton spirit, I want this, I want that. People are easily led into the snare because they have not yet abandoned all desire for the things of this world, for one desire, Jesus Christ. And because the mind is not filled with Jesus Christ alone, desire causes people to go astray. They see their desire, they go after it, and it's in the snare. It's a trap. And God knows whose hearts have many desires for the things of this world. The Israelites had desire for meat. They complained and complained. So God sent them so much it came out their nose. It was a sign of judgment because they lusted in the wilderness. We live in a wilderness, and there's lust in men's hearts for many different things. And one sure sign that the world does not have a hold on you is when you're willing to give everything up. Jesus tested the rich young ruler when he said, go and sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. One sure sign of where our hearts are is what we're willing to give up. If we're willing to give up the gospel, if we're willing to give up the truth, if we're willing to give up the light, if we're willing to give up, even in a very subtle way as to deceive ourselves, because we want something in the world that shows our hearts. But if we're willing to give up everything in this world for Jesus Christ alone, for light and truth, that shows who we are. And right now, the snare is large and the bait is looking good. How important is it for you and I to know what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days? The only argument is, are we in the last days? Because some people would like to say, we're not in the last days. We've got another 50 years to go, 1,000 years to go. We're not in the last days. Well, I need to ask you the question. Do you believe we are in the last days? And if so, what scriptures do you stand on to show you that you are in the last days? And then if you are in the last days, are you doing what God said to do in preparation for the last days? And if you believe you're in the last days, but your heart is tied to this world in any way, why would that be? If you believe we're in the last days but are not preparing like they're the last days. I don't think Noah prepared his ark lazily. I don't think he just kind of came and went whimsically. I think he built that ark and he gave his whole life into preparing it. So if you believe it's the last days and God told you to prepare an ark, why the delay? That is a sign that your heart is on other things. And that's why we must examine ourselves and see whether or not we're in the faith. We can't just go out and do things because someone's convinced us. We need to be convinced by the Holy Spirit, who is truth, and we need to be convinced by Jesus Christ, his word, God's word, the Bible. We need to know that word so that we can be convinced of what God is telling us without resisting, without trying to make it say something it doesn't say. And we all have to be in check as Christian men and women. I believe we are marching into the most adverse times that this earth has ever known. And all I keep reading in everything that Jesus warned about the last days is deception, 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 red alert, deception, peace and safety, at ease in Zion. Well, we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. So again, I have an article here. It would take me about 15 minutes to read it, but I'll open the telephone lines up. If you're out there today, you're listening to the broadcast, would love to hear from you. The number to call is 818-369-0326. What are we doing here today? We're standing out and we're shouting from the rooftops, be careful. Be careful. And I would have to believe that most people tuning into this broadcast are pretty much careful. But, you know, when we're all wanting to see good things because we know God is good. We desire to see great things happen. But if they're not initiated by the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's not the reason why these things are happening, and I mean purely, only his cause, got to be careful. The devil uses the things of Jesus. The devil uses the word of God to get Jesus to fall into a trap, for goodness sake. The devil knows the word, and he uses it to play upon the strings of men's desires, to lead them into something they want. And that's why, again, this wanton spirit, this thing about, I want, I want, I want. Now, is it wrong to have? No, it is not wrong to have. And if the day comes that God says, give it all away, we need to be prepared to give it all away. And I'm going to tell you something. When the world becomes important and we start amassing stuff to ourselves, and our walk with Jesus becomes a little dull, that's a great time to start giving stuff away. Because you don't want to be buried. It's so subtle. It's so subtle. So is this broadcast a help to you? The number to call again, 818-369-0326. And just press 1 on the dial pad. Now I'm going to wait about 5 seconds. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and read the article, because maybe you guys just want to hear the article read, which is fine. I'd love to read the article. It was written by a man way back when. But let's take our first call. Coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you and welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes. Of course, was watching what was going on throughout the nations, and there were several things that you said, which I agree with myself, and I believe that this is harvest time, and there's an opening for this North Korea, but the people will have to be on top of it to get when this opens up. It's only for a period of time. And then where we're at now with the peace thing coming in, what the Bible says, there's going to be peace, peace, and then some destruction. I believe there's three nations when we see that. Russia, China, and now with North Korea, when everybody thinks we're at peace with all those nations, watch out.
Yeah, and I think it's watch out time right now because nobody really knows, just because what was on television last night, if Kim doesn't wake up and get an order from the high-ranking officials that are behind him, the powers that be, that he says, now, you know, fire off one of your EMP weapons. You know, nobody really knows what tomorrow's going to bring. And, you know, we've been sensing that June, the month of June, would bring some doom on our soil. And I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I know a new level of judgment is coming because whatever happened on the Island of Tranquility last night did not stop babies being murdered in America and around the world. And it did not stop men marrying men and women marrying women. These things continue on as the corrupt devices that have been used as a sign of war against God, because we knew better. We knew that God hated these things. And so I'm very cautious, and you know what? I'll receive any rebuke, any reproof that somebody has to say, well, you're just not getting it, and I'd love to hear that. But let me ask you this. If North Korea does open, we don't even know if they're going to open up to inspectors to look at the nuclear things yet. But if North Korea opened up to missionaries, would you go?
Well, I've had a desire in my heart. Years ago, God put China on my heart, but I thought, wow, I mean, all these years have gone by, but I've never had it yet for North Korea. So yeah. I would have to get it from God, what if it was the timing or what.
Right, because you're a missionary to the Indian reservation. I mean, there's a lot of people in the Indian reservations that, you know, need to hear the gospel. But can you imagine if the door does open into North Korea, you know, what missionaries will go there? And does this mean that all of a sudden that communism is over and the regime is gone? And I don't know. I just believe it's time to be very, very, very cautious.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you know, the Lord has placed missionary on our hearts. And I've been in Russia twice on missionary trips and then in Romania. And they were all communist countries at one time. But there, we did sense a tremendous hunger, which when I was in Rome, Italy, there was no hunger there. I'll tell you that, because we got stuck there for 2 days, and it was a totally different spirit. And this was back in 1994 when Perestroika and that was, you know, it was lifted, and you could go in to Russia. And, wow, the hunger was unbelievable. So God's got to do this. For the people, like you said, who will go and labor? Who will be the laborers? And, you know, the harvest is great and the laborers are few.
Yeah, you know, I want to just proceed a little further because, again, this is, man, this is a tough word from God. If you go back to this Thessalonians talking about who's going to labor, here's what happens when people believe a lie. God sends a strong delusion. They believe a lie. Then in verse 12, it says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. How important is it, again, for the truth? But these people had pleasure. They had pleasure, which is eudokio. And that word simply means to think well of or approve, to approbate, to think good. There was a willingness. So they had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. And so they're going to be damned. And that word damned is the Greek word krino, And that word actually means to be separated, to make a judicial decision to condemn, to damn, to determine. And so I would pray that the missionaries would go and do their work all over the world. And if that door opens, praise the Lord. And I don't know. I'll leave it at that. Well, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your thoughts and your ideas on the broadcast today. God bless you.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. And again, thanks for tuning into the broadcast. We're glad people are listening all over the world. I see a lot of people on the phone right now. If you have a question or a comment to what you're hearing, this would be a great time to share those thoughts and comments. Again, the number is 818-369-0326 for those of you who are listening on some other device. And for those of you who are listening on your telephone, just press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll make sure to bring you into the broadcast. There's a 24-page report, written about America being under judgment. And in this 24-page report, it goes from the beginning of this nation to where we are today. And it goes all the way up to the 1950s and 60s, and it's talking about what's going on in the 70s and the 80s, and there was a vision involved, and people that normally preach nothing but nice things about the kingdom of God, which we love the kingdom of God teaching, but they oftentimes, and this was one of those times, or a very few times, they talked about the judgment. I mean, even people that could see nothing but the glorious kingdom recognized that America had crossed the point of no return. What are your thoughts? 818-369-0326, the number to call, and then press 1 on your dial pad. I am personally going to stick with caution. I would call all of God's people to caution. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 941. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. This is Dan from Florida.
Hey, Danny, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. I just had a comment.
Okay.
I was at church one time, and a man came to visit the church, and he was talking about missionaries, and he encouraged people to ask God if they have been called to the missionary field, because most people don't actually ask God if they're called to be a missionary. But if you ask God and dare to ask him, he could still tell you yes or no. It doesn't have to be that just because you ask God that he's going to up and move you from the United States and take you to another country. But if he is saying yes, isn't that something you'd want to do? Because there's many missionaries called. If you ask God and he says yes, he'll take care of you. But if he says no, then you know you're not called to do it. But I just remember that man encouraging everyone who's a Christian to just ask God that question, am I called to be a missionary?
Well, it's a great comment, and it goes along with Matthew 28:19. It appears that we've all been called to go out because it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So there seems to be a call for all of us everywhere we go. The mission field could be in our own neighborhoods. But yes, to take the gospel into foreign nations and to have a skill and an anointing and an ability to do it is absolutely phenomenal. And I think that's great advice. We should all ask the Lord, Lord, here am I. I'm a vessel. I have nothing in this world that would keep me from not following you into what you've destined me to be. Great advice, Danny. Absolutely. So, Dan, what are your thoughts about what happened in the Island of Tranquility yesterday?
Well, I was just going to say real quick, I think a lot of times we don't ask God if he's called us to be a missionary because we're scared that he'll actually say yes.
Right.
But he won't say that unless it's his will. And we want to do his will. So it's not a bad thing to ask God, am I called to be a missionary? And he could say no, you know. So I think it's a hoax. I think it's a game. I think Kim Jong-un is pulling our chain. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all. That's
yeah,
what I think.
Okay. I think a lot of people feel that way, and that's a good caution. And if you're proven wrong, we're on the right side of that being wrong. That's for sure. But we don't
right.
want to be on the wrong side.
That's right.
very good.
Yeah.
All right, Danny. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. God bless you, sir.
Thanks. Keep going.
All
God
right.
bless you.
Will do. Hey, that's great advice coming in from Danny, who's called into the broadcast. You know, and I think a lot of people feel that it's a big scam. It's a joke. It's a theater. It's a world stage, and there's lots of theater being played out in the world. And then there are those hopeful ones that want to believe the best. But again, we could stay right down the middle and caution. You know, something I do want to bring up, and I think it's fair to bring this up, and that is the reality of a gentleman by the name of Mark Taylor. Mark Taylor, you know, everything about what Mark Taylor has said to me personally is excellent. You know, Mark has nailed some things prophetically, and I'm going to stop right there. And I think the only thing that particular prophetic voice would be well in doing is stop saying that the people that are saying America's under judgment are wrong and all that stuff, because it is impossible that America's not under judgment. Just look at what's happening to our country. Look what's been happening to our country. So, you know, there needs to be that. But he did prophesy that Donald J. Trump would do amazing things that even the news media would be awed by. He did prophesy that Donald J. Trump would be the next president. And, you know, it all appears to be very real. And you got to give honor to whom honor is due. And when somebody comes out with that kind of accuracy, you know, that's pretty amazing. But you got to watch out for the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I just think you don't need to pick a fight. Prophets of God who have been warning this nation, as David Wilkerson did for many years, and tell the truth about what was going on, why the judgments were falling on us. Stop saying that we're not under judgment. You know, that is not accurate. And if you just leave that alone and allow for what God gave you about what's happening, that's a decent thing. So those are my 20-cent comments. Okay, we've got time for one more call. If anybody's out there today that wants to share in the radio broadcast, the number to call, 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326, and we would love to hear from you. And if not, I'm going to begin to wind things down here. And of course, I always want to leave the broadcast with sharing a song from one of my best friends who I never met before. How do you like that? Best friend that we never met, but knew very well in the spirit. His name is Keith Green. And to Keith Green, he wrote some amazing songs. And I believe that he had the gospel in his heart that made the difference. And so with that being said, I'm going to check one more time. I see that our listeners are just been listening. So I'm going to turn this over. I'm going to say goodbye. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Up next is Patricia Joy with something that's been recorded and already heard. And I'll turn it over to this song here. God bless you.
If you're putting your house on the market.
No. We don't want to go there.
See,
we don't want to go
on.
Could
save you thousands of dollars.
No,
here's our nitty.
No. Skip the ads. You got to skip the ads. Thank you, Keith. All right.
Righteousness for his name.
Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.
So I'll